Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. We are so happy to have you here with us today. And we are talking about optimizing human potential.
What the heck does that even mean, Paul? What the heck are we doing today?
This is I think it's sort of like growing as big as we can get on every level, mind, and spirit.
Yeah. Does that mean I get to overeat and get as big as I want? Or what does this mean here?
Well, I think we're talking in a healthy way.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have two people with us that are really going to teach us exactly what that means. Optimizing human potential in the world.
That's great. You know, optimizing human potential is such a important subject right now, especially with what we're going through in our nation with so many people that are being attacked, so much abuse, so much coming out in the news, you know, that's been going on. So, you know, obviously those people haven't maximized their human potential.
Mm-mm.
They've really kind of gone the opposite way. What they've really done is shown us what is possible if you really don't take steps to understand how to use the power of your mind, how to build your body, how to stay in integrity, how to live your values. You know, when we start to talk in those terms, a lot of that news would go away.
Yeah, that's a great point. I just recently wrote a blog called A Nation of Grievers and all about exactly that. There's so much happening right now that's creating loss for people. So I am so excited that the guests we have in studio with us today are talking about how to create potential, how to make great things happen, not losses and misery for people.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to talk to our guests because they're millennials and they've got a new view on life. And Paula, why don't you introduce them?
So we have with us today Mike Sherbakov and Jenny Scholl of the Greatness Foundation. I'm so excited about this. This is a nonprofit that's all about optimizing human potential in the world. They are a community committed to greatness. And I love it. On their website, it says, be more, do more, give more. I mean, if we were all doing that, we wouldn't have any problems, would we?
We wouldn't have as many, that's for sure.
Yeah. So welcome, Jenny and Mike. I'm so delighted you're here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, our pleasure for sure. So Mike, tell us a little bit about, because you are the founder of the Greatness Foundation. How did it come about? What made you decide to do this when a lot of guys your age are just into cars and having cute girlfriends and making money in their professions?
Yeah. Well, thank you again for having us here, first of all. And you already touched on so many of those points about optimizing human potential. Mm-hmm. So in our definition, optimizing is actually composed of two parts. First one being maximizing potential. Realizing what it is we're capable of, creating new possibilities for ourselves instead of limiting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is actually stepping into that and what we would call actualizing potential. And so if I were to rewind and tell a little bit of the origin story, I spent right out of high school, I went into the United States Marine Corps and spent 5 years there.
You're kidding.
No, I did.
Oh, you look so young.
Well, thank you. And you know, one thing you learn very quickly in the Marines is when you're ready to quit, you're just getting started.
Love that line.
You know, and when you think you're right at the edge, they say you're at about 40% of what you're actually capable of. Wow. So for me personally, it was that was my first introduction into, well, if I'm actually capable of way more than I thought that I was, where else does that show up in my life, right? If that was physically, where can I push myself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? And so when I got out of the Marines, I actually studied, my undergraduate degrees were in kinesiology and psychology, and I fell in love with mind and body and how those work together, again, to optimize our potential. How can we really optimize our minds? I started getting into service trips. I started traveling around the world and meeting people from different cultures and backgrounds and experiences. And what I learned were some really interesting things. People wanted to make a difference and they didn't necessarily know how. And everyone relates to just being a human being that wants to be more, do more, and give more. Just yes. like you said, it's part of our this innate desire. I feel like it's what we're really here to do. You know, we say at the Greatness Foundation, we say your greatness is not what you have, it's what you give. And so along the way, I ended up meeting these people. I ended up getting involved in these different service projects. And the Greatness Foundation was just something that was actually born from seeing a need of people, of a community wanting to come together that mm-hmm. wanted to make a difference mm-hmm. And giving people the resources and opportunities to do just that. So we've been blessed, right, with building homes and opening up our first school and working with refugee camps and hurricane relief. But the reason we're able to do that is because people see the mission, they believe in it, and we now give them the opportunity to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny, how did you get involved with the Greatness Foundation?
Yeah, so, well, Mike and I met, actually, we were traveling separately in Cambodia, and we ended up meeting at a foot massage parlor in Siem Reap. I know.
I love that.
Yeah, so we met in Cambodia. I was living in LA at the time, and I was just going through this transition of feeling like I was meant to do something more with my life. I've always been committed to service. And when Mike started telling me about these house builds in Mexico, you know, he said, come down. It's really easy. We drive from San Diego. You are going to meet incredible people. And it was all true. So I went down for my first house build and just really connected with a lot of like-minded individuals who were ready to be more, do more, and give more. And then it kind of just started my catalyst of doing more things in my life that lit me up, that excited me. I like to say that made me shine so that I could be my best self to give for others. Mm. And our paths just kept colliding. And here I am.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was before the Greatness Foundation was actually created, right? You were just going on these house builds with other groups. Is that correct?
The Greatness Foundation was going at that time, but nearly to the extent that it is now. Jenny's been absolutely integral. She's come in as the impact director, and she really, I was always able to bring the community in. Mm-hmm. And then as far as actually keeping everyone engaged and all the heart of what I call the Greatness Foundation, that's all Jenny and what she does.
You know, last week we had a guest on our show. His name is Robert Allen. He 10 New York Times bestselling books, and you know, he gave us some wisdom. He said, you know, it's always going to be your goals are always going to take longer to accomplish. It's going to be harder than you've ever thought. It's going to take more of you than you've ever imagined putting in. Have you experienced that with the Greatness Foundation?
Absolutely. I come from the startup world too. I love business and social entrepreneurship. And in everything we do in business, we say it's always going to take double the time and double the money. Just know that. And that also relates to what you just said, of really double the effort of what you think that it will take. And at the same time, it doesn't feel like work, right? Mm-hmm. I feel I am, you know, schedule's busier than it's ever been. And yet it's such meaningful work that I'm excited getting up out of bed every single day knowing we get to do what we do. So the effort is doesn't compare to what the mission is.
I think that's the ultimate experience. You mm-hmm. know, I'm happy to say I have that experience every day too. Like, I love what I do. And a lot of times I fall asleep at night in front of the computer still doing, you know, the things that have to be done. But I am excited to do what I do too. It isn't work. You put that so well, Mike. It's not work when you're doing what you love. And giving, this giving piece is huge.
Well, it is. And, you know, when you be more, do more, and give more, what happens, Mike? What happens, Jenny?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, the community, it kind of comes full circle, where you're able to be more and really start from within, put it into action, right? That's another big step, just being able to actualize it. Mm-hmm. And then when you give more, it's just this ripple effect of a lot of the projects we do provide very basic needs, education, water, housing. And what that allows us to do is give others the opportunity to be more, mm-hmm. do more, and give more, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, probably the most exciting part for us is to see the impact that we're making in our community's life and, you know, across the world to give them the opportunity to be more, do more, and give more.
That's
so
awesome.
Great. And mm-hmm. for you, Mike, what does it bring to your life and to the quality of your life?
Well, it is what I'll do for the rest of my life. There's actually no doubt about that for me. I'm a yogi. I have a consistent and strong meditation practice. I really believe in coming back to psychology. Abraham Maslow, at the very top of his hierarchy of needs, says that there's a need for self-actualization. In fact, he even says what one can be, one must be. And what this brings to my life is this is what I must be doing. This is what I have been created. This is what I feel like I'm here to do in my lifetime. And I just feel very blessed that I get to share this journey with incredible people in a community that believes in our mission and what we do.
Tell me the mission one more time.
Optimizing human potential to create a better world.
That's awesome. And how do people get involved with you guys? What projects are you working on, and how do they get involved?
So we have projects that are ongoing, like the house builds down in Mexico. We've been doing those for 5.5 years now. And we do those every 3 months. The school we just opened in Nicaragua, we visit every 6 months now. That's been built out of plastic bottles, and they're constantly adding classes and curriculum. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then currently, we're really focusing on disaster relief through Texas, Florida, the Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. Mm. The best way for people to get involved is just to go on our website. We also have a shortened link, which is greatness.ngo. And right on the homepage, it says, "Do you want to make a difference?"
Yes.
And start here. And they can put in their email. And just by being part of that community, they'll see they're going to get a couple emails from us telling them about the different impact projects, whether they want to just listen to the content, whether they want to join us on a project, whether they want to pledge, and or they have a business that wants to get involved. We always welcome our community with open arms and say, however you feel you can best support, we'd love to have you here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so great.
That's awesome.
Well, can we give that website address one more time, real slowly?
Yes. So greatness, greatness.ngo. Or if someone just Googles the Greatness Foundation, they'll see us come up.
Fabulous. Well, Jenny and Mike, we are so blessed with your presence today. And the world is definitely blessed to have you two and the Greatness Foundation in it. Thank you so much for sharing this story with our listeners.
And we'll be right back with Susan Blaze. And Susan is going to talk a little bit more about how to optimize
human potential, but in the workplace.
We'll be right back.
All right.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back to Transition Radio with Ken Foster and Paula Shaw. And today we have a very special guest. We're talking about human potential in the workplace. And Susan Blaze is on a mission to transform the world of work one leader at a time. She's made the long climb from receptionist to CEO of a billion-dollar division of a Fortune 100 company. She's an expert at leading teams through radical change, including 9 mergers and acquisitions, and uncountable reorganizations. She helps leaders understand and implement the critical balance between relationship and results so that they can unleash their people's talents to achieve bottom-line success and fulfillment for all. Susan, welcome to our show today. It's so great to have you.
Thank you, Ken and Paula. I'm just delighted to be here.
Well, our pleasure, for sure. And you know, it's interesting, Susan, I'm listening to what Ken was saying and introducing you. And one of the things that I teach people about and that I'm always saying is change is happening whether we like it or not. And humans have a love-hate relationship with change. You know, we need to have change or we'll be bored to death, but we don't like the discomfort of the unfamiliar. And you are really, you've embraced this. This is what you do. You help people deal with change, right?
Well, she's made changes like that are unheard of. I mean, going from secretary receptionist to CEO.
In her own life, but and in what she's doing in her career.
By the way, how did that happen?
Oh, boy. To make a long story short, I was looking for a job, and I had in way back in the early 80s, and I had the only office experience I had was filing my father's sales receipt. He was a traveling salesman, but I was good at test taking, so I took a test with the University of Oregon, got flying colors, and got myself hired as a receptionist at the Health Science Center. And a few weeks later, word processing was just coming into being.
Oh, yeah.
First Wang word processor that like took up the whole side of a desk. They needed someone to learn how to run the thing, and two people were above me, but they were like, I don't want to learn it. So I said, I'll do it. 5 weeks later, I was the supervisor of the word processing center.
You're a quick start.
I'm a quick start. I am.
And a big achiever.
And I just kept going from there, because I think starting out in the state, I know how this sounds, but I'm going to say it, is that there are not a lot of people who are real go-getters, mm-hmm. or at least not in the area I was in. Mm-hmm. But because I love to work and learn, I just kept going. I got 5 promotions in 2.5 years.
Wow.
And then I started getting conscious, going, oh, I can really learn and grow my way up the ladder if I want to. And I thought, why not? So I did.
And how did you come to this place now of having the core of your work being about optimizing human potential in the workplace? What exactly does that mean to you?
To me, one thing that absolutely drives me crazy, and I could rant on for a long time, but I won't, is a recent Gallup study shows that 70% of people in the workplace are totally disengaged in their jobs, meaning they're not bringing their talents and their energy and their enthusiasm to work. They're just either getting by or maliciously compliant, where they're actually working against the good of the organization.
Mm.
And from what I've seen in all my years in business, a lot of it is because the leaders are not really engaged. Mm. And in many ways, it's not their fault, because most leaders are thrown into management with no preparation whatsoever, as I was. And I liken it to, if you put Lance Armstrong, who's a master on a bicycle, now put him in the cockpit of a 747 and say, okay, have a nice trip. The jobs are completely different from being a good salesperson, engineer, programmer, or whatever, to becoming a leader, but there's no preparation. It's like giving your 12-year-old kid the keys to the car.
Yeah.
It's just madness. And so this is my mission. This has to stop, because the demands on leaders are getting more and more intense as the speed of change keeps increasing.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of leaders are thrown into that leadership position where not only don't they have experience, they also are not service-oriented. They're thinking about themselves. They're kind of afraid. They're walking through like, well, you know, am I going to get fired if I don't do this right or perform, or, you know, and how do you deal with that?
That's actually a very astute observation, because a tremendous amount of fear comes upon people when they're thrust into a new situation with no preparation, like becoming a leader. And so one of the things that I do when working with leaders in that situation is to really give them a safe place to express those fears. And we start exploring those fears and finding out what are the gaps in their skills. What do they need to learn right now? And my training is kind of different because it's very experiential. It's nice to know all the laws of leadership and all the theories, but it's more important to know, what do I do when I go into my office tomorrow morning? And so we really work on the key things, and it's often a matter of communication. How to speak to people, how to relate to people now that you're their boss instead of their peer, which is a challenge in itself. And so it's really about helping them take a breath, step back, and let's look at the things that are going to help you communicate effectively. Hmm. Because they need to learn to deal with that fear and kind of keep going anyway if they're going to succeed.
You know, I'm wondering, just because I always think of everything from the perspective of psychology, Susan, do people tend to lead in the same way they were parented?
Well, that's a great question. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that, because I have a master's in marriage and family therapy, which is all about human systems and how they work.
Right.
And so we do, we're all imprinted in our childhood with that first original triangle, us and the two people who were primarily responsible for us, or two parents or whoever they were. And so we do take that way of communicating with us. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the, just as you do in any sort of psychology or counseling, we look at what works. That might have worked when you had to survive as a child through this situation, but if you take that with you, such as a big problem many people have is dealing with conflict. They either run and hide, or they feel like they have to get out the hammer and start beating heads. And there's not much in between. Right. And so we start looking at that way of dealing with conflict. And maybe you had to do that when you're six, but now you're 46 and we need to learn a different way.
Mm-hmm. You know, so conflict is such an important piece. So, you know, conflict, we have conflicts in our home life, in our spiritual lives, in our, you know, in our, you know, with our families, with our, at work. How do you resolve these conflicts that when one person's really right and the other person is also right?
Yeah.
Everybody's right.
Everybody's right. Yeah. And everybody's invested in being right.
Yeah.
Those are one of the biggest bugaboos, of course, that any manager faces. Most of the panicked emails and phone calls I get between coaching sessions are about conflict. And so a lot of it is trying to, for the leader in charge, to step back, take a breath again. I'm really big on just stopping and taking a breath or two.
Amen.
Let's look at the facts in the situation and see if we can just downplay all the emotion for a little bit and figure out what's really going on here. What is it that that person really wants? There's usually, it's a conflict where they either both want the same thing or they want opposite things. What do we both really want here? And what is actually possible and realistic in this situation? And can we figure out a way to get you at least some of what you want and you at least some of what you want? And above all, I always insisted in the workplace on professional respect. People don't have to like each other and love each other and hang out after work, but I always insisted that they treat each other with professional respect on in the workplace.
Yes.
And if they can't do that, they have a problem, because that's part of the example that a leader in particular has to set. But everybody on the team needs to know that now we're at work, we need to act like it.
What do you think is the chief emotion that people get into or experience when change is happening?
Oh, boy. I think most people go immediately to fear. Mm. And the type of huge earth-shaking changes that I'm talking about, when you're told that we're going to do some reorganization around here, or we've just been bought by another company, people go immediately to the rice bowl, right? Mm-hmm. How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to pay my mortgage? Can I keep my kid in college? They immediately go to their own survival, which is natural and normal. And leading through change, a lot of it is being aware of that fact and trying to give people information. Because their fears prevent them. When we're in intense fear like that, like I might lose my income, all of a sudden productivity drops. People can't focus. They can't solve problems. And if leaders don't learn to deal with those fears realistically and fast and often, that's when things spin out of control in the organization very quickly.
How does leadership, as a leader, how do you deal with those kind of fears? I mean, what are some like 2-3 steps that you would, you know, I come in, I'm afraid of losing my job. I'm making poor choices in my work environment now. I'm really kind of stressed out. How do you counsel somebody like that? Or how
you
do you take
what?
Them to the next level?
Let's let Susan answer that in our next segment, because I know that's going to be a great answer and we are out of time. So we will come right back. And Susan, let's talk about how do you deal with all of that. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. We are talking with Susan Blaze, the leadership trailblazer. And
I love that last name. That is so cool.
I know, it is really a good name.
I wish I had that last name. That's so cool, Blaze. Blaze through everything.
She is that too. She is the emanation of that word. She's just on fire. She's alive and she is smart as a whip too.
No kidding.
Thank you. Susan, in our last segment, we were asking you a tough question. Like, what do you do when everybody gets scared? Everybody goes into fear about a change that's coming.
Yeah, the company's just announced that we have cutbacks.
Yeah. Ooh, that word.
Yeah, it's everybody's fears and anxieties go into overdrive. The rumor mill takes off. And so what the leaders need to do is make sure that they are in tune with the real facts and get their own emotions in order. Sometimes it's almost like making a sacrifice, because it's not like the manager. I, as a leader, certainly had times when I was afraid for my own job too. But then you have to look at those troops that you have and realize that your job is to get them through it. So what I did was always be honest with them and let's get together. In fact, in one of the mergers, we used to have legitimate whining sessions where we would get together in a room and everybody could say whatever they wanted. They could yell and scream and swear and cry. They could just express their frustration and anger. And the people who did that actually did better throughout the whole process. So it's giving people a place to express those emotions, and don't pretend like this isn't an earth-shaking event for everybody, because it is. Mm-hmm. And tell the truth. It's so important to tell the truth and to treat people like the adults they are. It's really strange how in big organizations or any size organizations, people start thinking that their employees are children and, oh, we can't tell them that. Mm-hmm. I had to shut down a company and we laid out the plan for how many people we would need to keep for a whole year. And people decided which months they would stay until. And then we shut it down with style and with grace, and we actually had fun and a little going away party every month. Mm. So if you tell people the truth and give them the credit for having the sense to be resourceful and take care of themselves, even if it's not a good answer, then people will deal with it and move on. It's when information is not given and there's a huge vacuum that the level of anxiety just spins out of control, because then the rumor mill takes over and that's all people talk about.
Well, you know what I find, Susan, is that we all have inside of us so much potential, right? And so sometimes when what you're talking about is when the fear takes over, right? the potential is it kind of almost goes away. People forget how strong they are, how they've overcome a lot of transitions in their life, that they can overcome this next one. How do you reassociate people back to their own power, their personal power?
That's a great question. And a lot of it is in that process of first acknowledging all the fears and dealing with them like we just talked about, and then showing them what needs to be done. It's so important. In fact, it's critical that the leaders in transitions give a crystal clear picture to everybody of exactly what we're going for. This is what we want the company, the department, the division to look like at the end of this change. And then give really clear goals, align, show people how their individual work contributes to that larger goal, and then stay the heck out of their way. I really believed in having high performing people and giving them their freedom to be creative and to let them work together and to come up with new solutions. And people are amazingly resourceful. I saw things, people do things that I would never have thought of myself that they came up with, and they just did it because I would give them boundaries. Here's the fence. I used to say, here's the white fences. And if you're going to, you can do anything you want within those fences, but if you're going to jump over the fence, crash through the fence, or bump into the fence, let me know and we'll deal with it. And people did amazing things. I think the combination of clear goals, giving people tasks that align with their talents, and then turning them loose to do it their way is powerful beyond all expectation.
What I really love about that is it's so respectful. You know, it's honoring who each person is, rather than feeling they need to be dictated to. And, you know, in a lot of the research I've done, Susan, what you just described is almost critical to keep millennials interested and loyal to the company. Do you find that to be true?
I do. I think the millennial generation gets crumbed on a lot, but they've watched us, the boomers, work ourselves into a frenzy, and,
amen.
And sometimes they kind of look at that and go, I don't think I'm going to do that. I want a little bit of a personal life here. I want to make an impact, but maybe not by working 80 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, giving people a mission. I used to say, you give people a reason to get up in the morning. Help them see that the mission they're involved in is bigger than they are. And that's what gets them fired up and ready to contribute their talent and enjoying work. And I think the millennials are just absolutely, they are the hero generation of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. So we better make a way for them to succeed or we're all in trouble.
You know, I could be wrong, but it seems like the millennials don't seem to gossip as much as the baby boomers.
And that's because they just bare their souls on Facebook.
Don't
there
they?
There are no secrets.
There's no secrets out there.
Right.
So I'm just, but you know, managers have a tough time dealing with the rumor mill. How do you help people deal with that? Because that's an important piece of transformation.
The rumor mill was always just one of my, you know, pet peeves. It's always operating no matter what. But what I would do, and I think the best thing to do, is for the leader to be a trustworthy individual mm-hmm. and an approachable individual so that when the rumor mill starts going, your people will actually come to you and say, this is what I heard. Is there any truth to that? And you can actually say, no, that's ridiculous. Or, I don't know, but I'll find out. The point is the leader of that particular team needs to be the one that has the source of the real information and that people are not afraid to approach and ask even really uncomfortable questions. And once the leader is in that role, then their people will come to them and you can at least keep the rumor mill from taking over your own team. You can't really do anything about the larger rumor mill, except when I had sales teams reporting to me, I told them that I did not want to see their face in the office except for 1 hour a week for a team meeting because I didn't want them to get sucked in the rumor mill. It's like, you stay out there taking care of the clients. And we actually increased our sales numbers even during a really difficult merger.
I think we need to have an empowerment mill where instead of gossiping about what's wrong, we look at what's right and we talk about each other and our own beautiful strengths and abilities and talents. But I guess I'm just that idealist, you know.
Well, what you're saying, and I think what Susan's saying, is so important because that's what creates the energy that is in the environment, and we're so affected by energy.
And you're an energy psychologist, yes. And that's so true.
Yeah, you just the group culture, what's happening energetically impacts everybody in the situation, right, Susan?
Absolutely. And there's so many little sayings in the corporate world, but in one of them that I won't use the four-letter word on radio, but the doo-doo rolls downhill. And what I determined because there was certainly plenty of it raining down on me in many of those situations.
Now, what kind of energy is that?
what I did, I actually used to visualize this big umbrella over my team, and from my point of view, it stops here. I don't care what they do to me. I'm not going to do that to my people. We are going to have a space here in our team where it's positive, where it's fun, where it's creative, where it's highly energized, and that's what I did. You don't have to keep raining it down on people.
No.
And, you know, that's a real fallacy and something that does tremendous harm.
Well, you know what? You're the person I want to work with and work for and coach with and learn about, because, you know, that's an important message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are the leader. So, Susan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Paula, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I'm sure many of our listeners will want to learn more about Susan or find out how they can get in touch with her. And I think you had a free gift for them, Susan. Could you tell them about that?
I do. I wrote a simple paper on three keys to leading teams successfully through radical change. That's what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to find that on my website at SusanBlaise, which is BLAIS.com/3keys, just the digit 3, KEYS. And that is something that gives some of my foundational beliefs that really helped me and my teams through some very difficult changes, and I think will help them too.
Well, we are so grateful because we are Transition Radio, and today you have enlightened us a great deal on how to make transitions in the workplace actually fun, smooth and fun.
That's great. Thank you so much, Susan, for being on our show. We hope you'll come back and share some more of your wisdom as we wrap up our show today. I want to let everybody know that you can listen to us on transitionradioshow.com. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're on Podcatcher. We're on all the major podcasts. And, of course, you can listen to us right here at KCBQ, 1170 a.m. at 7 p.m. on Monday nights. We hope you'll go on our Facebook page and tell everybody about us and give us some likes and give us some feedback. We appreciate you listening to us very much. And we'll be right back with our next guest.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio with your host, Ken D. Foster and Paula Shaw. And now we're going to be talking about maximizing your potential in wealth building. And we have our sponsor from Sexton Advisory Group, Mr. Steve Sexton. Steve, welcome to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Ken. Paula, good to see you guys.
Always good to see you too, Steve.
Always good to see you, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you're above ground.
Any day above ground is a good one.
I'm wondering, do you think it'd be good to see Steve when we're out of body? I'm not sure. I haven't ever thought of that.
No.
Okay, moving right along.
This got weird.
Let us just mosey on along.
Okay, it just got too weird too quick. Okay.
It's that metal. Get it away from it. It must be kryptonite or something.
It must be.
Ken brought his metal today from his triathlon victory.
My triathlon victory, at the World Triathlon Union in Penticton, British Columbia this summer, where I placed 10th in the world. So, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
So, maybe we should ask Steve what he's thinking about today.
I think we should talk to Steve. hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. This is your segment. Steve's still wondering if there's really a centerfold in that magazine.
I know. He's wondering about that magazine centerfold. I'm on the cover of Triathlon magazine this edition for the fall edition. So, we're just kind of kicking that around. But Steve, in a serious note, you know, people need to maximize their potential around wealth building. Can you give us some strategies or ways that people may be able to do that? And when do you start? And how much do you contribute? And what do you do?
And okay, is it first the same straight across the board?
No, actually, I have three strategies for this.
Right.
First one, eliminate debt. Better to earn an interest than pay an interest. Ooh, a lot of people have been told over the last 20 years, hey, buy it now, pay for it later. Problem is debt packs up. And it's one of the biggest derailments to retirement. It's real simple. You just list your debt, smallest to largest, interest rate, payment date, minimum payment, and make the minimum payments on everything except for the smallest one and pay as much as you can. Once you eliminate that one, take what you're paying there, add it to the next one, and keep moving forward. You'll build some momentum in this. I had a couple that had $150,000 worth of debt, and basically were able to pay it off in about a year and 9 months.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wow.
Once they got going, his wife goes, you know what? I'm going to get a job to add to this. And the cool thing about it is because they're able to do this, now they're working on their mortgage the same way, and they'll be able to pay off their mortgage in 17 years. But why that's important is once they were, you know, when they were paying $5,000-$6,000 a month to credit cards, okay, and putting a little bit on the principal like a lot of us do, and the reality is, you know what? It would have took 10, 15 years to pay it off that way. Mm. By lumping it in there, they're able to pay it off much faster. And by adding the extra, or not the extra, but starting to work on their mortgage, they paid off the mortgage, and they were going to pay it off their mortgage in 17 years, but the extra $5,000 that they weren't paying towards their credit card, $1,000 a month went into trips, the other $4,000 went into savings for retirement, and they're on a pace right now to, well, they'll have an option to retire earlier than they ever, by 5 years, earlier than they ever thought they would, just by doing that one thing. Second thing, don't get caught up with being nickel and dimed to death. This is taxes. There's simple things you can do with your tax return each and every year to reduce and eliminate taxes. The other thing is your expenses. Take a look at your expenses. You know what? I've had, my daughter even did this. She was freaked out because my son went to college. He had earned like $4,000 doing odd jobs. My daughter only has like $800. Okay? And you know what? She would come to work for me and then she'd get her check and go spend it on stuff.
Right, right.
And she couldn't understand why. But what we did is we said, okay, get everything you spent in the last 4 months. And she wrote it all down. And you know what? The Lululemon leggings and stuff like that. But Lululemon leggings are like $120. I say, well, what do you want?
Right.
And she made the decision, okay, you know what? I'm still going to look good if I don't have Lululemon. If I have somebody else, it's okay.
Right.
If I got the $30 ones, you know, that's good too. So a lot of people need to take a look at these things. There's a lot of little things people are spending or forget they're spending about because they buy it electronically, that'll nickel and dime them. They need to get rid of that stuff. Look at it.
You know, Steve, I think a lot of you know, we have a very wealthy society, and a lot of people are kind of spoiling their kids. I mean, they don't teach them financial responsibility, and they just go out and buy them whatever they think they need at the time, right? So how do you deal with that? How do you change people's mindsets around that?
Well, first of all, if you're the parents, and you know what, I'm going to say my wife deserves 1,000% credit for this. Because when my kids went to the toy store and they started screaming about something, my wife says, you can't have it. And then they'd leave. Now, she got to the point where she says, you know what? We can play, but we're not going to buy. So they played all the toys, but they never buy it. Mm-hmm. Okay. We made them work for things, use their Christmas money, their birthday money for certain things, and we bought them other things. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get everything, but they know now that they've got to work for it on their own. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Which makes them good stewards of their own money. If you don't set that foundation, it's kind of hard. Now, the other thing is you have to get people that are in midlife, okay, that mom and dad have been covering things or they've always had a great salary and things change, you have to sit down and say, look, if you continue down this path mathematically, when are you going to be able to retire? Mm. Okay, I talked to a gentleman, he was a doctor, made over $500,000 a year, and he was 68 years old, and he's still a doctor. And I said, how come you haven't retired? He goes, well, I just kind of spend everything. And I said, so when are you going to retire? He goes, I'll probably work until I die. Well, there's a problem there. Before you die, you usually have some health issues. Mm. And how are you going to be able to afford things for your wife, for his wife, which was 20 years younger, and right. she was just going along with the flow and loving life because, you know, but they were spending everything.
Yeah.
So that's like leaving your spouse with a mess. And you kind of have to put that in somebody's plate and say, okay, what's your opinion of this? And what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Some people just won't want to deal with it. But the others, they're going to realize and go, okay, I have to make a change.
Right.
And yeah. it's never too late to make a change.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
And it's yeah. critical. But it's not so easy to make a change because in some research I was reading lately, you know, they were talking about the pleasure center of the brain. And whenever anything gives you pleasure, the brain goes, ooh, want to do that again. And because we're all so busy and so stressed, you know, a lot of people need those pleasure breaks and they find something that makes them feel a little better temporarily. Mm-hmm. But what you're talking about requires some discipline.
Well yeah, it does. But, you know, I'd like to ask Steve this. So how do you turn it around to make saving pleasurable? Right.
Well, actually, I have a story with clients that actually have a great income. Their income is in the 340s, mm-hmm. but they had like $300,000 worth of debt. It was mm-hmm. nuts. And it was all pension stuff. And the reality is they're still able to work. They're in their early 50s. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? If you're going to take this job because you don't, you're just restless about what's going on, take the job, but focus everything on your debt. And I said, we're going to talk once every 3 months and see what you've done. And when they would come in, you know what? Sometimes I had a Starbucks for them because I knew what they were, where they're going to be
right,
at.
Right.
Or I'd have a cupcake and they'd laugh at that. And I'd have little things and they started to look forward to those little stupid things that I brought to them. So create little stupid things for yourself that make you laugh and have fun and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. Rewards, building in rewards. That's how I wrote my book. I would just tell my inner child, if you stay here at the computer, if we finish this chapter, we're going to Baskin-Robbins afterwards. And we did.
But the other part to your point is you can't just go cold turkey either. Mm-hmm. So you know what? That's like when I talk about with the debt, start with the smallest one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It'll be the easiest. You get a little momentum going, oh God, life is going to get easier. Yeah. And when I talk to people about debt, I said, look, you just took $3,000 out of your monthly expenses. What can you do with that? If we put this over here, this is what can come of it if you do that for so many years.
Right.
Oh, wow. And this is how much you can generate from it if you keep doing it. So it's like, how do you, you know, if you're a good somebody that works with people with debt and expenses and their retirement and you're working with them over a number of years, you do have to keep congratulating people for a job well done.
The mindset's got to be critical in all of that because you're talking about making the reward having savings rather than the reward having the stuff or whatever you did, whatever you were buying with that money prior to that.
I love that. So every time you save, you get a cupcake. How's that?
Yeah, we'll see you 100 pounds later, buddy.
Well, you know what? I had a similar thing when I was first starting out in business. When I worked overseas, somebody turned me on to Blue Label Johnny Walker Black.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
It's a $200 a bottle.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So basically, when I hit a certain goal, I'd buy myself another one of those.
Right.
And then friends found out. And when I hit, people that I work with, they're vendors. And once I hit the next goal, they'd start sending me one. I go, okay, I got to stop. It's got to be an alcohol. I still have a pantry full of about 10 of these. Like, no more. I don't drink that much.
Okay. But you can throw some good parties.
It's time for a big party, Steve. That's so funny.
I love
that. What, you know, know, you said you had another strategy. What other strategies to maximize your wealth potential here?
Okay,
you,
so whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, or 65, you have to optimize and be as efficient as possible for what stage of life you're in. So if you're 20 to 50, it's all about accumulation, stocks, whatever. If you're able to put money away through a 401k, maximize it. If you get a raise, take a portion of that raise and add it to it because you're going to just forget about it. Mm-hmm. Also, set a withdrawal if you have the ability to financially, meaning you're making your monthly goal expenses, have it go into another account that's not in your 401k to cover emergencies or other investments mm-hmm. to get you where you want to go. Now, when you get to the 60s and 65 range, you want to stress test your retirement. You want to make sure you have a 95% probability that you're going to be able to retire, or even 100%. But you don't want to be in the 50s. Now, if you're working with an advisor, some of them have Retirement Analyzer, the Monaco study. There's Riskalyze. There's five or six of them. You want to have a written plan that shows if you do certain things, you're going to get to where you want to go and you're going to be able to retire. And if you know you got 96 to 100% likelihood that you're going to be able to retire and have the life you want, yeah. That's a good thing.
That's great.
You're
well,
good to go.
We're out of time, man. This show went fast. That was great, Paula.
Yeah, thanks, thank
Steve.
You so much.
Thanks, guys.
Steve.
Yeah.
Great advice. Great
and
advice.
How do people get a hold of you, Steve?
You know what? They can call the office 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or if they just want to get information, say they want that debt, how do we do the debt? It's information@sextonadvisorygroup.com. Just in the subject line, put debt sheet, and we'll send it to you.
Oh, cool.
That's great. Thank you so much. Well, Paula, another great show.
Another great show.
That was so much fun. Yeah, thank you. And for those of you that are listening to us, you can also listen to our shows on transitionradioshow.com. And of course, go to our Facebook page, Transition Radio Show, and give us some likes. Let us know what your feedback is. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week on Transition Radio.